All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at our text passage that we've been memorizing, Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Many years ago, there was a scientist, and he was using the inductive method of observing the characteristics of a flea. And some of you may want to maybe volunteer for this project, or maybe you've done this to brothers or sisters. And so what he was doing is plucking a leg off at a time of the flea, and then afterward he would try to test some theories. And so he plucked a leg off and he looked at the flea and he was like, "Jump!" And the flea kind of seemed to understand what he was saying, and he jumped. And the flea then would, you know, kind of fall back down. And then the scientist would record in a notebook, plucked one leg off, yelled jump, flea jumped. All right? And so he thought, well, I wonder what else would happen. So he began to pluck another leg off. And so he took another leg off and he looked at the flea and he's like, "Jump!" And the flea jumped again. And it seemed like there was some recognition there. Seemed like he was understanding. There wasn't a lot of verbal communication, although being a scientist in this day and age, there probably was a lot of connection to that flea. But the scientist was like going back to his notebook, and he said, plucked second leg off, yelled jump, flea jumped. The scientist continued this process until he came to the sixth and final leg. By now, the flea, but not being able to communicate a lot, and he only had one leg now, and that could kind of count as an arm, but he was maybe winking. The scientist, being far away, probably wasn't catching on to some of it, but the flea was having a hard time jumping right now, all right? He's down to one leg, being commanded to jump and trying to jump. The scientist finally pulled the final leg off and again ordered the flea to jump. The flea did not respond. For a third time, the scientist yelled at the flea, "Jump, I say." But to no avail. The hapless flea lay motionless. The scientist then made the following observation in his notebook. When you remove all the legs from the flea, it loses its sense of hearing. I say that because you've been hearing a lot of teaching and preaching this week. Some of you are going to do some stupid rationale starting tomorrow, starting this weekend, even next weekend, if you don't apply the right process of understanding scriptures. You've been given helps. You've been given pastors. In fact, that's Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says that the church was given pastors to help you. All right? And also, the Bible itself is a light. It's a lamp to my feet. Then the Holy Spirit, according to John 14, 15, and 16, are given to you to guide you into all truth. So there are three simple things that I just gave you, and yet some of you will go home, and on the way home, you'll be talking to one of your 16-year-old buddies, who I know is unbelievably filled with wisdom. And through the course of that wise counsel, you will disregard some of the truths that have been given you this week, some of the things you have observed, some of the things that have been taught, and it'll be basically worthless. Been in the ministry. I've been here coming up this January. I started working with our youth this January 30 years ago. 3 decades. And over 3 decades, yes, there's been things that they've seen change in my life. Glory to that. But also, there's been, I mean, countless amounts of hours and time spent in the Word of God to prepare young people to step up and be successful. But you know what? Some people aren't successful. And you know what a lot of people do, and some are out there. Every church has its naysayers, right? People that come to the church and they disregard, they come to their own conclusions as that scientist about what has been given to them. And then when it flops, obviously it's the teaching's fault. It's the Word of God's fault. And this is what my challenge to you this morning as we come to our topic. Would you decide, and my, sometimes there's a specific age group, I would say, for a topic. And this morning, as I was preparing this message, as I was finalizing it, I would say, and I'm sorry if you're 12 or you're 13 or 14 or 15, but basically, the age group I'm talking about is 16 to 25. And I am including college because I think sometimes an empowered youth, you negate everything. All right, that's for the young people, but you're still a young person, just so you know, in the Bible. You're still a young person. In the book of Proverbs, you're still at that age that there's a lot of molding, there's a lot of shaping that's being done. And 16 to 25 years old, this is my challenge as we start, as we go to prayer. Would you pray that if God speaks to you, you'll make the change? If God speaks to you, do something about it. Please, I beg of you, make a motion towards God. Move towards Him and see if God will not meet you. Because if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Our text that we've been reading is found in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And let's say that, just verse 23 together. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Heavenly Father, I pray as we consider some simple thoughts this morning, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to concentrate on the wonder and the amazing book that you have given to us, the Word of God. I pray that it would have free course. I pray that we would submit to the teachings of Scripture. And that, Lord, as always, I ask you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture clearly teaches us that the real issues of life are spiritual and are matters of the heart, the inner man. Maybe it's for this reason that the word heart in the King James is found over 950 times in the Bible. Over 950 times the idea of the heart. As these numbers suggest, the heart is a prominent concept, one of the most commonly used words of the Bible. And most of the occurrences are used metaphorically. It's not necessarily talking about our physical heart. It's metaphorically talking about the inner man. When used metaphorically, it refers to the mind, the emotions, the will, to the sinful nature sometimes, to the inner man, to the person as a whole. And so I want to consider just three simple helps this morning in our text. Three helps to guard your heart. Three helps to guard your heart. Notice in our text in verse 24, it says we are supposed to keep our heart. Right, but notice 24 through 27 give us three ideas of how you can keep it. So look at number one in verse 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So number one, if I'm going to keep my heart, if I'm going to guard my heart, I am going to avoid wrong speech. I'm going to avoid wrong speech, and it specifically lists two types of speech. Notice what it says in verse 24. It said a forward mouth. So I am supposed to understand what the forward mouth is and stop its influence. And then secondly, I need to consider the perverse lips and I need to cleanse my mind of that. So let's consider those as we say, let us guard our hearts. And first of all, let's avoid wrong speech. So what is a forward mouth? Like, well, it's a mouth that is speaking forward. All right, I know. I've worked with teenagers for 3 decades, and that is your brain level. All right, you're like, forward, let's go. It's actually, that's spelled a little different. All right, so what does forward mean? Forward, okay? It means a perversity. It means a fraud. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, this passage kind of uses the idea of this forward mouth. It picks up in verse 15. I have to just read 15 because I wanted you to laugh. It says, but Jeshuan waxed fat. All right, so let's just get it out there. Here's this fat dude. And kicked. All right, thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. It's just a great passage. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So now we're getting into the point here. All right, here's a fat dude, and he's thick. All right, and thou art covered with fatness. All right, I just described some of you. All right, anyways, verse 16. All right, they provoked him. Watch your speech. All right, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. So now it seems to be indicating that it's talking about the children of Israel. God's mad at this man, but it seems now to indicate he's mad because they went away from him. All right, they went abominably away. They went to other gods, idolatrous. They sacrificed unto devils, not to gods, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat thee. Thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. When the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters, and he said, look at this. Here's our word. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a forward generation, children in whom is no faith. So here we're seeing it defined biblically. Yes, it's a perverseness. It's a fraudulence. But notice it's describing a generation that is idolatrous, that does not want to seek God, that is forsaking him, that does not lift up God, that seeks their worship in other people. That is forwardness. It means going against that which is right. Scriptures command us to put away from thee a forward mouth. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to Proverbs in our text in Proverbs 4:23 and 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth. But notice in chapter 6 and verse 14. Chapter 6. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Uh-oh, we're starting to see some characteristics of what a forward mouth is. Wrong speech. Understand what a forward mouth is and guard against it. What do I do to guard against it? It is somebody that is within a youth group, within a church, that is spreading discord, that is mouthing off against parents, mouthing off against authority, this discrediting the scriptures. And some of you sitting here, you sow the seeds of discord. And some of you sitting here know it's wrong and you're not guarding your heart, because what you should do is put it away. Get it out of here. You stop it. Somebody says something against their parents, you should stop and say, why are you talking that way against your parents? There's something wrong with you. You put away a forward mouth. The scriptures command us to put it away. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. God doesn't like it. Look at chapter 16 and verse 28. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Look at down in verse 30. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. So I think we're starting to understand a little bit of what a forward tongue is. We need to understand what the forward mouth is, and then we need to stop its influence. The Bible calls a forward man a naughty person. calls him a wicked man. His speech is crafty. It's not to be trusted. Everything that he says is with a design to tear things down. His words flow from a heart that is filled with all manner of wickedness, things repugnant to the will and law of God, perverse things and malice. God calls this a forward mouth. It speaks evil and considers it as something which he hates, as an unproductive plant which brings forth evil fruit. The Bible says it needs cut out. That's what has to happen. The Bible outrightly states the opposite of what a forward mouth is. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 11. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. All right. Verse 20. They that are of a forward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. So you have a forward mouth. So what is the right type of tongue? An upright tongue. All right, so then you need to study that. And my challenge then, again, I'm trying to concentrate on 16 to 25. 16 to 25, think about your heart. And then specifically go to Scripture then, and God gives us then the directions how to keep it. And I don't think many young people here really think that speech has anything to do with your heart. And that's because you're immature in Scripture. Because Christ said that out of the abundance of the feet, my toes, my head, my ears. No, you know it. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the heart, that's why somebody can come to you and say, hey, there's something wrong with you. Like, oh, it's your speech. It's just words. Yes, it is. And God says that words are important. Words are important. So the opposite of a forward mouth is an upright mouth. So the second thing in our text, going back to our text, notice what it says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth. So I need to study and understand the forward mouth and stop its influence. We're starting to see. So that is, it's a perversity. It's a fraudulent. It's not necessarily what we always think of as just bad speech. But that's coming up now. Now it gets into the second thing that a lot of us think of when we think of perverseness. All right. So get away from yourself or perverse lips put far from thee. So consider then what perverse lips are and cleanse your mind. Perverseness means to turn aside. It's a distortion from the right. It's an obstinacy of in the wrong. It's contrary. It's stubborn. It's petulant. It's peevish. All those things describe what a perversity in lips are. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs to consider some things. I'm going to just list out a couple of verses. I'll read them. I have them listed out to help us as far as time. All right, but I want you to consider this as we think of our first point. And our first point is avoid wrong speech. Notice what it says in Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 15:26. The thought of the wicked are an abomination. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the righteous, or the words of the pure are pleasant words. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So you see from the above listed, all right, from Proverbs 10, Proverbs 15, Proverbs 16, and I would challenge you to do a study of words and lips and speech in the book of Proverbs. What you'll find over and over and what is right and what is wrong. And there is a relationship of the tongue to the heart. The tongue is continually causing strife and contention is evidence that the devil is working in his heart. It is very clear. You may ask, how then that can I as an unworthy sinner tame the tongue? Proverbs 16 gave you an answer. Proverbs 16 says the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Right. Take your tongue to school. Most of us have loose lips. Right? And we don't think that it's expressing anything, but what comes out of your mouth? When you say something flippantly at home to your parents and you say something, it is coming from a heart. So when your parents sit you down and they say, hey, something's wrong with the heart, it's because your mouth is revealing the heart. Get mad at them. Get mad at God and get mad, throw something at Him. Throw something at the Holy Spirit who's showing them. Get mad at your parents. Keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. And the way to do that is to avoid wrong speech. A tongue under control is evidence of spiritual maturity. If a believer's tongue is controlled by the Holy Spirit, then a lot of other aspects of his life will be under the Spirit's control. Watch out for perversity. Don't put up with it. And that means if you have somebody, making snide comments, all right? And that means to guys and girls, hey, and they're referencing maybe some body parts that shouldn't be addressed publicly. Then you stop it. That's perverseness of lips. And it's showing your heart. And it's showing that something is wrong. You let guards down. And it's coming through. Perversity of lips. We've got to be careful. And so we need to, how do we overcome this? All right, so we say avoid wrong speech. So what's the cure? The cure is found in the Bible also. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Look at it. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Notice what it says. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is where? From the Lord. I remember growing up, we used to sing a song in Sunday school. Psalm 19. Let the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be acceptable, O Lord, my God. We used to sing that. And you know what? That song is still there. And I can quote that verse. You know why? Because that verse taught me, let the words of your mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So how do you get, how do you guard your heart? You submit your words to the Lord. Every morning, come to God and say, God, with my mouth, help me to honor you. Oh, I have to hang my head. Hey, I've been there. I can remember 7th, 8th, 9th grade. I was a little terrorist. My youth pastor was just here, and he gave me a glowing review. But part of it is he's getting older and senile and doesn't remember much. All right. He's back home. He probably won't hear this. All right, but I was a little terrified, but God changed my heart in 10th grade. He came and smashed it. But 7th and 8th and 9th grade, and I can remember one time there was a young lady that said something to me. It was in 7th and 8th and 9th grade. I had a really tough time, and I started looking at things and listening to things that I shouldn't, and it affected my heart. And I had perverse lips. I remember one time a lady saying something to me, and it really cut. And I think God started using that to change some things. But I could take anything and make it dirty. And one time there was a few people standing there, and they said something, and I made some stupid comment. And they said, I don't know how it is. You can take anything and make it dirty. Yeah, me. Perverse lips. I didn't guard my heart. And some of you, it happens. It didn't happen by chance in my life. It happened because I let my heart, and some, there were some bad things going on. Yeah, I could justify it. I could say, you know what, God's not fair. There's some rough things that were going on in 7th, 8th, 9th grade in my life. So what? And I took the guards down of my heart. And I thought I could fill it with some bad things because I deserve this. And then all of a sudden, perverseness came out. If you're going to guard your heart, avoid wrong speech. Notice, secondly, in our text, back in Proverbs chapter 4, notice in verse 25. Look at verse 25. It gives us our second key to guarding our heart. First was avoiding wrong speech. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Avoid wrong speech. Secondly, avoid wrong sight. Avoid wrong sight. Oh, there's examples in the Bible. Remember in Genesis chapter 19, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah and brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. There's great debate. Great debate on, so what does that mean? What does it really mean? And actually, there's been recent things. They think they found the actual pillar. I have no idea. I mean, thousands of years later, for real? All right, and it's a pillar of salt, just like right there. I don't know. I'm thinking salt would probably go away by now. But really, the point is not necessarily where it is or some of the contention. I think theological discussion sometimes could be kind of silliness. But I think all of us know that the heart was turned back there to Lot. Looking back. And I think some of you, if you're not careful, your sight is looking at Sodom. And what does Sodom represent? It represents the world. It represents worldliness. It represents sensuality. It represents all that this world has, and it promises you fulfillment. And in your eyes, the glitter of this world, it promises you some things, but the Bible says guard your heart. You got to look straight on. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. We also think that, and even remember the Apostle Peter in John chapter 21. And John 21 says this, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, and so what he saw was John. So they're sitting there. Remember that Jesus came, and that's when the discussion about Jesus going to Peter saying, hey, lovest thou me, lovest thou me, lovest thou me? They get done with that, and it's just like a great time, and it seems like Peter feels like there's a bond now. Yeah, Jesus, I'm back. All right, and of course then old Peter comes in, and stupidity flows. All right, and he sees John. He's like, hey, Jesus, now that we're buds, hey, so Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus thumps his melon again. And he says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So sometimes it's not just looking back at Sodom. Sometimes it's looking out at others. And some, as a young person, I can tell you this, 16 to 25 years old, sometimes they can... It can be hard because you're looking at others and it seems like they're having a lot more success and they're having a lot more things given to them and I'm not getting that. And then you get, oh my God. And you, what are you doing? You're letting the guard down. Why? Because you're concerned about that instead of follow thou me. No, even in churches and ministries, there's all kinds of different types of ministries. There's all kinds of different types of mission works. And sometimes you can be concerned about all of these other things that I think social media, there's some good things, I think maybe like a half a good thing about social media, but there's not much. Because even in social media, it's all about, hey, look what we're doing. Ooh, man, I'm the greatest. Come follow me. All right? I joke with our church because I think it's in the Constitution now. I am not allowed to tweet, to do anything. I am never allowed to be on social media because I think I would ruin basically not only my testimony and the church's testimony, but all of Christianity for centuries. All right? It'd be wiped out. All right? Because, you know what? Sometimes we get so concerned about all these other things. And what is it? We got to avoid wrong sight. So how do I get the right sight? Well, there's a great verse that we all know in Hebrews chapter 12. What does Hebrews 12 tell us? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what should we do? What's the cure? So I'm understanding now, I've got to guard my heart. And Proverbs 4 is telling me, after it gives me the instructions, and notice it says, keep it. Those of you that know a little bit of English, that is an imperative statement. That is a command. It's saying, it's your duty, young person, to keep your heart. So how do I do it? And God, because he doesn't leave you helpless, says, here's how. Avoid wrong speech. What's the cure? Submit your tongue to the Lord. Avoid wrong sight. So what does that mean? So what's the cure? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But then notice, lastly, look in our text. It lays it out for us. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And he gives us some instruction there. So I've got to guard my heart. So how? Avoid wrong speech. Avoid wrong sight. Avoid wrong steps. And notice the instructions. Breaks it down into four categories for us. Tells you to think before you leap. Ponder. Ponder your path. It tells you to be sure of your steps. Let your ways be established. Notice, it tells you to be careful of detours. Turn not to the right or the left. And then it says, run away from sin. Remove thy foot from evil. It gives you four instructions on how to have the right steps. The Bible is unbelievable as an instruction book. You have this book right before you, and it gives you clearly, it's clearly defined as a 16-year-old, as a 20-year-old, as a 25-year-old. And my heart goes out. It doesn't just go out to our young people that are youth. It goes out to our young people that are 20, 19, 21, 22, because I think sometimes what was preached yesterday morning, you're deviating. All right, you're heading a little bit astray, and some of it is kind of natural. You're trying to become your own man. You're trying to become your own woman. But the Bible is not saying that you have to go out on your own. You're not all by yourself. Get the help. And what is that? Right here, the Bible is saying, guard your heart. And that's why, as young people, a 16-year-old, 17, 20, 21, 22, and I think that some of you need to repair it, and it's being touched on over and over during this week. You have ripped down the relationship with your parents. You have tore it down, and they are there for you. And even in Proverbs, here is a man that messed up himself, that didn't get it all right, and there's a book of Ecclesiastes to prove it. Because he sought all this stuff and it was empty. And so now I believe here in Proverbs, he's penning these words and he's saying, I didn't
do this.
How do I know that? Because it's, I think, Kings that says that Saul or Solomon loved many women and it drew his heart away. And so he sits down and pens some words, and as sons of God, we can come to Scripture and we can say, how do I keep my heart? I avoid wrong speech. I avoid wrong sight. I avoid wrong steps. A few years ago, well, and so what's the cure? Let me give you the cure for that, because I'm trying to give you an antidote, because we're saying avoid some things. So how do I have right steps? Psalm 37, 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So to avoid wrong speech, I submit my tongue to him, to God. And then I need to avoid wrong sight. And so how do I avoid wrong sight? I look unto Jesus. That's what I have to do. The cure is looking up. But how do I avoid wrong steps? I commit to God's plan for my life. You can trust him. And it doesn't matter what you're planning on. You can trust him. Any area. And you can trust doing it in God's way. I don't think he'd mind me telling this. I had a church member a couple weeks ago, Tim, all right, Tim Gunzenhauser, called me. I was flying back from somewhere, and he texted me. He said, hey, you got a minute. And so he wanted to avoid a wrong step. And so guess what? Here's a, I don't know, you could tell Tim, I think he's like 93, 94 years old. He's old. And, but yet, guess what he does? He's not bowing down to me, but he knows that I pray for his soul. I watch for him. So he texted me and he's like, hey, if you got a few minutes. And I was like, never. Oh, no. I was like, I'll find somebody. Huh? All right. But, So I said, well, just give me a little bit. I'm driving right now. I'll be back. And so I called him, and he's like, hey, so remember I told you? And he had caught me the weekend before, and he had gotten a job. And I was like, wow, that's good. It's good to work. All right, so that's a good thing. And so we were praising the Lord about that. Well, then through the process of getting this job, he had talked to an HR guy and a recruiter. He hadn't talked to the main boss. And the job, I can't remember exactly the details, but basically the shift was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, something like that. Well, with the HR and the recruiters, he caught to him, and he runs a bus route, and he's like, hey, I run a bus route. It's very important to me, and I want to be able to have some flexibility on Saturdays, and then Sundays I don't work. So remember that, young people. Sundays I don't work. And so the HR and the recruiter, and just so you know, he's not a pastor here, all right? He's not a pastor. It's just one of those things in the Bible that he thought is important. So he was like, you know what? I want Sundays off. And they were like, oh, you know what? It'll be all right. We got it. So the boss was out of town, came in Monday or Tuesday, and the boss saw what he had said, and the boss called him and said, hey, just so you know, no. That's not going to work. This is the shift. So he called or texted. We called, talked then, and he was like, so what do you think? And I said, really? For real? He's like, yeah, I know. He said, so he had another job offer, a really good one. He said, so do you think I should kind of check on that other job and maybe get that line? I said, why? Why? It's principle. I said, so are you saying that if the other job falls through, then you'll just go ahead and work on Sundays? He's like, yeah, you're right. And he said, all right, Al, would you pray with me tonight and tomorrow? I was like, no. I'll do it. And so I was running in town to get a car wash, and the phone rang, and it was him. And he's like, "Hey, you're not going to believe this." He said, "I actually was trying to call your house, and your cell phone came up." And so I was sitting in the car, and I'm like, "Wow, it's Tim." So we sat there and talked, and he goes, "I went in to talk to the boss, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to be able to take the job." And the boss was like, "Well, why is that?" And he's like, "Well, Sundays, you know, they had kind of given me this impression." And he says, "You're the boss. This is your business," which is right. "You should be able to do what you want." He said, "But as a Christian, I can't do that." He said, "Oh, you're a Christian?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You should have said that." He goes, "You know what? That's fine." He says, "We'll work it out." So he called me back up. He was so excited because he said it was like God gave it to him and then took it back and then was testing him. But you know what? He was scared to take a wrong step. You know, in life, there's all kinds of crazy things in the last couple decades that have happened. A few years ago at a boxing match, a fan drank too much, got into a fight, ultimately fell down a flight of stairs, and the family wanted justice for this man. So the slick lawyer sued, and included in the lawsuit was the ticketmaster that sold the guy the ticket. In the world. Another crazy scenario happened in the last couple decades. A man bought a 4-seater airplane. In order to rig the plane so he could fly from the back seat, the man removed the pilot seat and all of the safety equipment. The plane crashed. The man died. The family was very upset and sued the company that built the plane and won $1 million. I'm in contact with their lawyer right now, all right? All right, I say all of that to go back to our text when it says, keep thy heart. You can be all slick as a teenager, as a 16-year-old, as a 20-year-old, or a 25-year-old, and you can get to the place that you think when you come to the judgment seat of Christ that you're going to have your slick lawyer to walk alongside, and you're going to say, wait a minute, it's not my fault that my heart was broken and busted up and it went to the devil. It's not my fault. And the Bible actually says, I believe this, that the words of God will judge you. And I believe Proverbs 4 and verse 23 are going to be put right in front of you. And it says, you keep your heart with all diligence. Stop blaming everybody else for your nasty, wicked heart. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems. And you start understanding that it's your job to get the guards. It's your job to build up the fence. It's your job to guard your heart. God has given you pastors and parents and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And guess what? They're like, duh, coach. And they come alongside. And guess what duh, coach can do? Sometimes I don't think I can do it. Sometimes I'm down and sometimes it seems impossible. But duh, coach. All right? Authority. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God come alongside and they guide me. And they bring me victory. This morning, some of you may have let down your guard with your speech and correct it. Some of you may have let down your guard with your sight and get a new Christ-like vision. Some of you have let down your guard with your steps and get back to the right path. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.